Well, today I'm returning to the sermon series called Real Love, and that's taking us through the book of 1 John. We hear ideas in our world about what love is all about. We maybe read a book or hear it in the media, and we've got all these sources that tell us what love is, but God's love is the only real love. God's love is the real deal, the real thing. And Jesus shows us what love is by his actions on the cross and his ministry on this earth and how he continues to love us and be part of our lives. And he calls us to love others. I brought this up a couple of times before in this sermon series. But there's a story in the Gospels when a man who was an expert in the law went to Jesus. And so he's an expert in the law. He could rattle off anything that was in the Old Testament law. You know, somebody had a question about it. How do I apply it? What's this mean? And he was an expert. So he went to Jesus, and I believe this was a very sincere question he asked him. And he asked Jesus, well, what is the most important law? And then Jesus said, well, love God, love other people. Now his answer was a little longer than that, but he's love God with all you have and love other people in the same way. And when I look at 1 John, the Bible doesn't say this, but when I look at 1 John, I see the whole book of 1 John as an expansion on that answer that Jesus gave. 1 John is primarily about knowing God, accepting his love, loving God, and loving other people. And John tells us this over and over again. I want to give you a warm-up reminder from 2 weeks ago for today's message. It's not in the main part of what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but this is where I ended 2 weeks ago. 1 John 4:10, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What an important verse. That's something to remember. That's something to keep in mind at all times. We didn't love God first. He loved us first. And it wasn't just with words and concepts and God was sitting on his throne and saying, and the people shall know that I love them. We will tell them that I love them. I don't know why people, when they imitate God, their voice goes deeper. Or sometimes a British accent sounds more godly. I don't know. But God didn't do that. He didn't just say he loves us. He sent Jesus, his only son, to take away our sins. This week's message is called, Real Love Means No Fear. And you think, well, what does fear have to do with all of this? I thought this was about love. I promise we'll get there. You'll see it in just a minute. So if you haven't turned there yet, please tap or turn to 1 John chapter 4. If you're new from the Bible and you're in a paper Bible, go the way to the back of your Bible, almost but not quite to the end. 1 John chapter 4, we'll be there in a few minutes. I'd like for you to think about a fear in your life. You don't have to share it with anyone. I'm not going to ask you what it is, and nobody else is going to know what it is. So just a fear that you deal with. Now don't get all manly on me. Don't get all womanly on me and say, well, I don't have any fear. I don't fear anything in the world. Yes, you do. We all have fears. You might call it anxiety or something else, but fears. And maybe you've grown in your fears with God's help. Maybe you've gotten past some of them, but some still persist at some level. I don't have a lot of fear in my life. I'm not saying I'm without fear. I'm not generally a fearful person. And we raised our kids. That was something we were very deliberate about, to teach them not to be fearful. So you don't have to share, but I'm going to share an example. And before I do, just real quick aside, when I share something from my life or I reveal something about myself, I'm not using you guys as a therapy session here or sharing examples just to be able to talk about myself. I want you to know that, first of all, the pastor isn't perfect. I want you to have some examples that might be relatable, and you realize, hey, we're all in this. I'm not by myself in whatever subject I'm talking about. So that's why I use a lot of personal examples. All right, that being said, here's one of my fears. It's persisted ever since I was a little kid. I have a fear of abandonment. Now, it makes no sense. I can't explain why I have this fear. I have a few guesses, but I was never abandoned as a child. My parents were married up until the time my dad died about 7 years ago. They're married like 56 years. My wife has never left me. None of that has happened to me. No tragedy, you know, that would kind of explain this. But there is this persistent feeling that people will abandon me. And if I want to take it to the next step and be super honest, I don't know that I have these feelings too much, but it's probably laying there underneath some, but I sometimes fear that God will abandon me. It just, I've had enough of you, and, you know, one too many sins, one too many screw-ups, whatever it is. And so I fear that God will turn his back on me, even though in the Word of God, he directly promised that he never would. You can find one of those promises in Matthew 28. He said, I'll be with you always. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. I remember that too. I know that. So that's why I say this particular fear in my life is irrational, but it's very, very real. Now, I've learned to deal with it, at least mostly. It doesn't affect my day-to-day anymore. You get under the surface. Maybe there's some life things that, you know, it speaks to. I don't know. I'd have to get a shrink to figure that out. I acknowledge this feeling. I just acknowledged it before you, this feeling of fear, this anxiety over abandonment. However, I refuse to believe the lie behind it. And know that with every fear, no matter what your fear might be, there was always a lie behind that fear. And that's where I want you to land, or I hope we all land today, that whatever your fears are, you can acknowledge the feelings, you can take them to God, that's healthy. Acknowledge the fears while still refusing to believe the lie behind them. So what are your fears? Don't tell me what they are. I want you to make sure that you're thinking about them. Keep at least, if you can, keep one in your mind so that we can put God's word into action in each of our lives today. So I'm going to read several verses, but just focus on a few. The reason I'm going to read a bunch of them, I always want you to see the verses in context, even when I'm just going to talk about two, three of them. So we're going to see some verses before, some after. Also, in these verses, you're going to hear repeat things I've covered in 1 John in this sermon series before. John's repeating some things that you'll hear, be familiar if you've heard the other sermons. He's doing that on purpose. He's driving points home, things he wants us to remember. Now, I really encourage you to read all of 1 John chapter 4 before you go to sleep tonight. It's a very short chapter, just take a few minutes. But for now, I'm going to start in verse 11. I'll read through 21. And I'm reading from the NLT this week. That's what's on the screens as well. Your version may read slightly different. Verse 11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Again, I hope you'll read the entire chapter of chapter 4 in 1 John later. But for our time today, I'm going to focus on three verses. Let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17 says again, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The NIV, if you've got the NIV open right now, it says, our love is made complete. Puts it a little bit different. A love that's made complete. It's a love that reflects the love of Jesus, moving closer and closer to a perfect love who is Jesus. And that's done by living for Jesus. Like the actions we take, we live like Jesus. We imitate him. We seek to be like Jesus and growing closer to him always. So you walk closely with Jesus, and a natural result will be more perfect love. You don't say, well, I just need to love more today, and I'm going to work really hard on loving more. And that's a good goal. That's fine. But if you walk close with Jesus, it will naturally happen. You won't really have to try. The more you are like Jesus, the more your love will increase for God, and the more your love will increase for other people. Look again at the verse, second part of the verse for now. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. If you know Jesus, there's no fear of judgment, no fear of death, no fear of judgment. Don't misunderstand. Judgment is coming. You can count on it. All sins will be judged. But if you know Jesus, you've confessed him as Lord, there is no reason to be afraid of it. Because Jesus has already taken the penalties for your sins. Your sins will be judged, but Jesus took the penalties for those. He stands in your place on judgment day. Your sins will still be paid for, but they've already been paid for by Jesus Christ. So a true follower of Christ, there's no reason to be afraid of the day of judgment. A quick aside, if you hear me say that or you read it or hear it in other places and you think, well, I have a fear of death. I have a fear of judgment. If that's you, I would love to talk to you. I believe that we can come together in Jesus' name and we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the confidence that's expressed in this verse. And don't feel bad about asking. It doesn't mean you're a lesser Christian or you don't have enough faith or anything like that. So let's talk sometime. I believe the Holy Spirit can give you that gift of confidence, of assurance. All right, use a little bit of logic with me this morning. If you know Jesus, you have no fear when it comes to death and judgment. And if you have no fear of death and judgment because of what Jesus has done for you, what else is there to fear? If we don't have to worry about death, we don't have to worry about judgment. We know our eternity is secure. Eternity. Really, what else is there to fear? And yet we fear things. I have fears. We fear things. I shared one of mine. So what's yours? Hopefully it's still in your mind, or it's come to your mind by now. Maybe you fear that I'm not going to have any friends. Hey, how many students are here this morning and they're going to switch schools? So you're going to go grade school, middle school to high school, college, or you're going to switch schools for some reason. Anybody going to have in that situation? Nobody? Nobody switching schools? Wow. They just don't want to say it. Well, that's a tough situation. You'll face it someday if you're a student. You're going to face that eventually. That's a scary thing to do sometimes. Maybe your fear is, well, what if I don't get married? Or what if I marry the wrong person? Or what if I marry the right person and he or she leaves me, abandons me? What if I don't have enough finances? What if I don't have a job? What if this job ends? What if, you know, I can't find another one? What if I might be lonely or alone? What if I have rejection or abandonment? The fear of failure, the fear of success, the fear of making the wrong decision, the fear of other people's opinions, the fear that one of the deacons will call you to fill in for the sermon when I'm on vacation in a few weeks. I'm being funny, but public speaking is a fear. You know, you want, if God wants you to do something, you don't want that to keep you from doing what he's called you to do. The list could be longer. We can make a longer list than this, but Maybe you can at least relate to some of those or understand there, or maybe the other ones you have. Now, I don't judge you. I don't belittle you for having those feelings, because I don't believe God belittles you or judges you for having those feelings. But God does not want them to rule your life either. He doesn't want those fears, those feelings, that anxiety to keep you from the mission he has given you. Remember, you can acknowledge the feelings of fear while refusing to believe the lies behind the feelings. Now here's our key verse today, verse 18. Really want to drill in on this one. Verse 18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love. In the strictest context of what John is writing here, he's talking about death and judgment. We don't have to fear punishment. But it's not at all a stretch to apply to any fear. The concept is the same, because when death and judgment are off the table for any believer in Christ, all the other fears go with them. Let's take that verse in two parts. First part, again, says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. God showed his love. He gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. This is a gift of grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Jesus went to the cross willingly, died for your sins, rose again on the third day, offering salvation to anyone who wants it. Now, if you're looking at the NIV, it says drives out fear. If you happen to have the ESV open right now, it says casts out fear. Run through those words, those phrases, expels, drives out, casts out. Those are strong words, strong imagery John is using here. Often people say that the antidote or the way to deal with fear, the response to fear, is to have courage. The antidote or response to fear is not courage. The antidote to fear is love. God's love, God's real love. Knowing God's love and accepting it for yourself and putting it into practice in your life, where you love him back and you love people, as love increases, fear decreases. As love increases, fear decreases. And that can go on to infinity. Acting against your feelings of fear or anxiety is courage. Yes, absolutely. We need courage. We have to have it. Courage is an expression of faith in God. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to believe God in this. And the true source of courage is love, God's love. Knowing that he loves you, wants the best for you, has a plan for your life, and that you're safe with him always, even into eternity. No matter what the world might do to you, you're still safe with God. That's your source of courage, friends. The love of God is where you find courage. Feeling afraid is not being afraid. Let that digest a minute. Feeling afraid is not being afraid. Acting on something or not acting on something based on feelings of fear or anxiety, that's the real fear. That's being afraid. Letting your fear to cause you not to act or to act, it's a lack of faith, an unwillingness to trust God in the situation. Look at the last part of verse 18 again. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love. This verse says, if we are afraid, not feel afraid, if we are afraid. Here's the paraphrase applied to my situation and abandonment, and it shows you it's going to reveal the lie behind the fear. Here's my paraphrase, not reading scripture here. It's my paraphrase, all right? If I'm afraid of being abandoned, it is for fear of God leaving me, and this shows I have not fully experienced his perfect love. There's a lie behind every fear in your life. What does the Bible say about my particular fear? It says he'll never leave. Anyone. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. In other words, if I am afraid in this area and I allow it to affect my life, I make my decisions based on it, I'm rejecting God's truth. Even though I know God's truth, I'm rejecting God's truth and I'm choosing to believe a lie. So maybe you have a fear around finances for some reason. Did God not promise to always provide for you? You can choose to believe the truth of God's word, or you could choose to believe a lie. If it's a fear around success, fear around failure, that's a big one. Did God not say that his love for you is never based on performance? So his love for you, how proud he is for you, any affection he has for you, it's not based on how successful you are or what kind of a failure you are. It's not based on that. So you can choose to believe the truth of God's word or believe the lie and live in fear. You can apply that to any fear, even your fear that you've hopefully thought of this morning. When you think of your fear, just acknowledge the feeling. It's just you and God here. Acknowledge the feeling. You have a fear. There it is. It's out there. Now, refuse to believe the lie behind it. You identify the lie and refuse to believe the lie. Because the enemy, Satan, is lying to you. Don't let anyone tell you that Satan's not real or that he doesn't really, you know, interact in our lives. I'm not saying I know how it all works, but Satan is alive and real, and he's active in your life. So you've identified the fear, then you identify the lie behind it, and you replace it with the truth of God's word and God's love. Satan wants to freeze you into inaction, like do nothing. Oh, he does that with a lot of Christians. He does that with churches. Just don't do anything. Don't rock the boat. Don't do anything different. Or, on the opposite, Satan wants to trick you into acting foolishly. You know, going down roads he hasn't led you to go down, do things he hasn't really led you to do, and you're doing it out of fear. One or the other, Satan wants to capitalize on your fear, on those feelings. And Satan wants to keep you from doing what God put you on this earth to do. And I believe one of my greatest passions is that every person, as long as they're breathing, has a purpose of being here. God has a purpose in their life. The antidote to fear is love, God's love. And that's what will give you the courage. You need courage. That's what will give you the courage to face it. You may deal with some feelings of that certain fear for the rest of your life. I still deal with a few of those. But from today forward, you're just not going to believe the lie behind it. You're going to identify that lie and not believe it. You're instead going to accept God's love and accept his truth. And we have to do that on faith. I realize sometimes that's tough. But real love means no fear. I realize I don't know your circumstances, or at least many of you. Some I do. I don't know how circumstances are going to go in the future, or how your situation might turn out, or what situation you may have to face in the future. But this is not about circumstances, as terribly, terribly hard as certain circumstances can be. And hard circumstances can certainly bring feelings of fear. What I'm talking about this morning is about knowing what Jesus has done for you and accepting his love. And then knowing the truth that the worst from the world's standpoint can never happen to you. The worst is death and separation from God. The worst is judgment, standing before God and being judged and having to answer for all your sins. That's off the table if you know Jesus and follow him. Now, real quick aside, if you don't know Jesus, you're not sure where you stand with him, there'll be a couple of prayer team members up during our final song, and you could come pray with them, and you can pray with them about anything. They'll pray with you about whatever you want to pray about. If you want to talk to me later this week, contact me, and we'll get together and talk about Jesus. But with death and separation from God and judgment off the table, all other fears you might feel, they pale in comparison, as the cliche goes. There's just nothing almost. And the reason why can be found in verse 19. Look at verse 19. We love each other because he loved us first. Now, I love the simplicity of the NIV and the ESV, and they read identical. And it says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Now, don't forget, when we're talking about us, that means you. In all your flaws, in all your fears, even the irrational fears, God loved you first. You love, you don't fear, because God loved you first. That's why we can have peace. Look at this verse. This is why we can have peace when we're feeling fearful. That is why we can sing the song we sang earlier, "It is well with my soul." Even when the circumstances are not well at all. When our fears lie to us, when the enemy lies to us, we can still have that peace that only Jesus can give. We acknowledge the fear and the anxiety that comes with it, while at the same time refusing to believe the lies behind the fears. Now this morning, I'd like for you to keep that fear in mind for you today, or keep that fear in mind. And just think simply about what Jesus has done for you. Think of the sacrifice. It's something we really can't completely understand. But think of the love it took for the Father to give up his only son to death. The love that Jesus had to go to the cross willingly. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. The love the Holy Spirit has to want a relationship with you and to bring the events together during Jesus' ministry. And God loves you an amazing amount. It's not measurable. I'd like to reprise the first verse of "It Is Well With My Soul." Just stay seated, and we'll go ahead and just the first verse and chorus, and we still have another closing song later, but let's just go back and pay attention to those lyrics one more time. Y'all sounded good, but I didn't hear a lot of conviction. Maybe it's because I had you seated. So let's stand up. Just do the chorus. Stand up. But this time, would you sing this like you mean it? Like, let's hear some conviction in this room this morning. It is well with my soul. Jesus Christ has died for me. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and he shares that new life with me. Let's sing it like we mean it. It is well with my soul. Lord, let us live that every day. Let us truly be able to say it is well with our souls, no matter what's going on around us. Lord, I pray for every friend here, that they would begin to know what it means to acknowledge their fears and to reject the lie behind them. We pray these things and offer them to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.